En Cox estamos un paso adelante, como el muchacho que ya sabe la orden de tu cafecito incluso antes de pedirlo.
Hey, José, café con leche sin lactosa, un toque de vainilla templadito sin azúcar.
En Cox también nos adelantamos a lo que necesitas. Por eso el precio de tu plan no subirá por 3 años. Y nuestra seguridad avanzada protegerá tu red de amenazas antes de que pasen. Cox, un paso adelante. José, llamada de tu jefe en 3, 2, 1. Al menos 500 megabits por segundo de velocidad y Cox Unlimited Mobile. Impuestos y cargos no incluidos en garantía de precio. Velocidad de datos móviles reducida tras usar 20 gigas al mes.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Midlife Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most of midlife.
So today we're going to have a conversation about what's your midlife mantra. But before we get started with that, I want to just say we're just so grateful that Michelle is joining us as a special guest co-host today, fresh from her journey to Ireland. And we're just so delighted that you're here.
Thank you.
How was Ireland?
It was fantastic.
Great.
You're all smiles. It's so good.
You were there how long, Michelle?
2.5 weeks, and it was bookended with a bucket list trip to the Chelsea Flower Show, and then a 9-hour layover in London for the WOW Design Show House.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You fit a lot in. I was following you.
That's a lot in 2.5 weeks. Yeah, that's wonderful. And then Marianne and I are just off of the annual women's sailing expedition on the Windjammer Angelique in Maine,
which is great. I came home to a bunch of cards because I was at the bay. So I had all these cards from so many ladies saying it was the best one ever. Mm-hmm. Like they, and I would agree. Would you agree?
I agree.
Mean, they're always great, but this was like magical. It was so perfect.
What made it different? Or was it that there wasn't any? So like I've gone the 2 prior years, and I would say that they were magical trips for me and felt life-changing or life-affirming. And of course, you know, it got us started doing this.
Right.
So I wonder if it was not that it was more magical than other ones, but maybe there wasn't anything that like made it less magical. Because I feel like I think 25 women sailing on the coast of Maine is magical in and of itself.
So it was a little fewer number because a lot of people took their own room. So there was 17.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so people really got to know each other. Mm-hmm. The weather, it was like in the 80s, a couple different days. It was warm.
Right.
We jumped into the Penobscot Bay.
A bunch
of
us.
It was not warm.
Yeah.
And then we added a few other activities. I don't know. It was just so special. I think a lot of it had to do, it was, all of them have been great, but I think also just the mix of people was a little different as well. And it brought just a different vibe in some respects, but yes, they're always magical and they're always wonderful. But
and I think 17 people though, I think that point about you get to know everyone and you don't have, I don't even want to call it cliques because that doesn't feel right, but you don't have those smaller groups necessarily.
Right.
17 people, you really, if you didn't get to know everybody in a group of 17, I think it would be noticeable.
Right. You got to know everybody. Everybody jumped in and did everything together. Mm-hmm. Like karaoke. I know I wasn't going to do it right away.
But you did.
But I did. But everybody jumped in and did everything. I mean, it was.
I also think a piece of it was that we're more comfortable. So there were only 4 of us that had been on the trip before. But we've all 4 of us been on the trip every time, right?
And I thought there were 8 of us the same.
Mm-mm. You, me, Jean Marie, and Marie.
Sean.
Oh, Sean had been on once before. I'm thinking that had been on every time.
Okay, continually.
And so that develops like a level of comfort. And we kind of had the routine down, which made it easier to get everybody involved in things. And so it just seemed like a very homogenous group. Like everybody was on board and it was very fun. The jumping in the water though was key because like in years past, one or two people, you went in one year, Michelle, and I thought that was very brave. And this year I was like, okay, I'm going to do what you did. Go from the beach. And I did, but I also jumped off the boat and then I jumped off the boat again. and like a whole bunch of people jumped in. And Dennis said, if half of the women jump in, Dennis is the captain for those of you who've not been on the trip. If half the women jump in, then he would jump in. So we were eight of the 17 went in and a couple of people went in twice. So Dennis did a backflip off the boat. It was just very fun.
It was cold.
It was very
cold. I didn't realize my muscles were slowing down as I was swimming back. And I'm a swimmer, but it was, someone said it was 54 degrees, the water temp. I'm not sure, but that might've been. Yeah.
So maybe my mantra going forward is it's never too cold.
Ah, that's a good one.
Jump in the water.
Do you know the other thing? And we shouldn't stay on this long. I'm sorry. We could go back on it. But to answer your question, like the majority of everyone really like dove in to being a part of everything. So Island, this was your idea. So on the lobster day, it was like castaways, Gilligan's Island characters. She was Ginger. It was just so
red wig.
So fun. And the country and a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll. So people, we've always had some, the majority of people, but people really got into it, which was a whole lot of fun. And there was line dancing. She was teaching line dancing. So there's a lot of line dancing going on as well.
And we had an artist who taught us watercolor painting, really great.
And we did that several times.
Yeah.
Three different days. We learned to watercolor. It was wonderful.
So wonderful time.
So that's what we've been doing. What about you, Marla? Yeah, I know you've been up to things too.
Well, most recently, and I was saying this is more of a myth buster, but I just came back from a short trip to Colorado. Actually, realized I had never been to Colorado before. I think I had only been to the Denver airport. So I knew I had seen mountains in Colorado, but I realized I actually had never stepped out of the airport. So that was pretty great. And I went for a wedding and I did the trip by myself. And that's a big, when you were just talking about Ireland, I was going to say you did that trip for the 2.5 weeks alone. And I think there's an aspect, and maybe that's a interesting topic for us to take on sometime, is talking about travel, solo travel, where you're out of your element. You know, solo travel for me to go to New York to visit family and friends, that doesn't count. Planning a trip, making all those decisions, renting a car, driving around, figuring out where you're going to stay and what you're going to do. You know, I even like went to a restaurant by myself, and I don't know that I ever did that before either. So I'm kind of keeping with that theme of being bold and stepping a little bit outside of your comfort zone. And it was amazing. It was just a really amazing trip. But we can talk a little bit about, you know, love in your 60s, and the wedding was two dear friends who were both getting married for the second time in their early 60s, and really a joining of families. And what you were saying about everybody kind of all participating, there were only about 50 people there for the wedding and for the weekend, so you really got to know everyone, and that also made it really special. And I think that being on my own made me more open to connecting with people because I needed to. Mm-hmm. If I didn't make the effort to find somebody to go hiking with, I wasn't going to hike because I wasn't going hiking in the wilderness by myself. So I had to make friends, if you will. And that was another, you know, a really big step. But then after the fact, felt like it was absolutely the right step. So
those
really,
things can be rewarding.
Absolutely.
When you do something like that out of your comfort zone and it works,
right,
you grow from it and you'll do it again.
And then the crazy thing was that, you know, I saw mantras everywhere I turned, whether it was in a store and books of mantras and meditations, or it was even, as they said, a trailhead. You know, there's I have some notes and we can get to it a little bit later, but, you know, how you approach the wilderness is also how you can approach life and other people. So it was a really great experience.
I do have to say, Marla, what is funny about all of that is we did have a text chain going talking about our mantras. And like I've always said something in my head since I was little, you know, this is going to be a great day or whatever it might be. But you were like, I don't have a mantra. And it was the texts were going on like, okay, let me think what my mantra is. And then you send this picture. It's like, oh my gosh, look at this.
Like,
the universe
wake up, girl.
Is telling me.
Yeah, wake up,
which
girl.
Which was kind of fun.
Yeah, no, very much so. It was funny.
And something you just said, like, really kind of resonated with a good entree into the discussion about mantras, which is like about the wilderness, mm-hmm. right? Because life is a wilderness. Mm-hmm. And I think I may have talked about this before in another podcast, but it's worth repeating if I did, and maybe I didn't. I'm getting old. I can't remember what I've said and didn't say.
And then we wouldn't remember anyway, so it's like, good.
It's all fresh. My daughter-in-law does a lot of manifesting, and I was very intrigued by that because I don't really get like what manifesting does. I don't believe your thoughts can actually influence the universe. So I wanted to look at it, like, what is manifesting and how does it work? And actually, there is some real scientific reasoning behind it, which is that when you manifest, when you think about something, when you put it in the forefront of your mind, you become more aware and in tune to that thing. And so each of us gets bombarded with tons and tons and tons of data in our brains literally every second. I mean, when you think about it, you're taking in sight and sound and smell and feel, and all your senses are constantly alive and alert and pulling in data from your environment. And you can't possibly process all of that. So your mind sort of efficiently lops most of that off and focuses on what really is the task at hand, what you have programmed yourself to be focused on. And that's actually how manifesting works. Mm-hmm. When you think about something, you then make yourself more aware of the presence of things that relate to what you're trying to manifest and can plug into it. And that's kind of the same thing as a mantra, right? In the wilderness of life, if you set a mantra for how you want your life to go, you are more likely to develop, to be aware of and respond to things in your environment that relate to that mantra, but also to develop your own psychic self about that thing. So mantras can be really important, really, really important.
It's mindset.
It's a mindset, yeah. But there's, you know,
more to it. But
there's more to it. Mm-hmm. It actually, there's a logic to it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a good idea to talk about our mantras. And do you have one? And if you don't, I think Marla has a little device that can help us find one.
She's got a stack over there.
That's because I'm the one who said, I don't have any mantras. And then I joked and said, oh, I think I found them under a pile of laundry, because actually I have a book of mantras. Sitting here. Mantras for awesome women.
Wonderful.
Every single page is a mantra. And then I have a book of affirmations for badass women that has mantras and quotes. And then I have two different decks of cards that have cards you pull out each day. And if it resonates, you know, this one, raise each other up. Well, that could be your mantra for the day. But if you don't like it, put the card back and pick something else that feels right for you. So here I was thinking, I don't have a mantra. And then I actually have so many mantras.
I think we tell ourselves things all the time, depending where we are in life and what we're doing and what we need. And so our mantras change throughout life, for sure, depending on that. Because I've had mantras, like I would tell myself, I'm not going to age quietly, which is not something I probably made up, but I've heard some version of that before. And then I end up dropping the age thing because I'm just not quiet, and I never have been. I've never lived that way. So that was one mantra. But also, I have to say, I've gone through periods of my life where someone in my family has been ill and sick and not well, and I've had survival mantras. I have had to like embrace a mindset and a mantra in my head going into a doctor's office or listening to bad news and telling myself it is going to be okay, going to survive this. So mantras can be all kinds of things. Usually they're light and they empower me, but also sometimes they're of comfort as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a mantra now?
Well, let me say.
All right, while you're reading your cards, how about you, Michelle?
One that I came across recently which resonated was risk is better than regret.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I thought that was really good. I think it's good for midlife, too, because you do start to get to that point where, you know, if you have a bucket list, if you have things you want to do, it's time to do them. So
I did have, I guess it was a mantra a couple of years ago. I don't remember if it was 2022 or 2023, but it was onward. And that I didn't think of it as a mantra, but it was a kind of words in my head that was fueling me to move forward in my life as I was transitioning from being married to being single. And so onward just felt like onward, you know, let's go for it. Let's move forward. But I just pulled this one out.
What is that one?
None of it. Mirror and reflect the best.
Ah, that's a good one too.
I like that.
Yeah. So when
I wrote a group one down for all of us because we're all sitting here and Carmen's not here, but I'd put her into it. And that is, I don't do boring.
Ah.
Because we are not doing anything boring. Just this podcast alone has broken us out of any type of mundane and our boring. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think any of us have boring lives, but our routine. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been good as well. So anyway, I'm claiming that for us as the group. I don't do boring.
Yeah. I had I still do actually on my Facebook page, like, you know, the personal information, I had written in a long time ago, where is your sense of adventure? And it's not a question to people looking at the page. It was really meant as a question to me. To always remind myself every day to sort of think about what adventure I was going to have in that day. And I think I'm going to tweak it a little based on the boat trip, which we were just talking about, which is, you know, when are you going to play? Because I really thought on this boat trip, one of the things that got really freed up was this power of play and playfulness and how important it is to remind yourself every day to have a little bit of time when you're just playing, when you're doing something that doesn't have an end, doesn't have a goal. You're not trying to achieve anything. There's nothing competitive about it. It's just damn fun.
Yeah. You did lots of that.
And I loved it. I want to do more, which is why I want to retire so badly.
We have a podcast, Boldly Saying Yes, which is a mantra. We think of it as a tagline, but it's right. Really our mantra.
It's a mantra.
As
That's
well.
True.
Yeah.
My friend, her mantra for the year is, why not?
I like that.
And
too.
I was like, okay. That works because that's just, you know, put yourself out there. That's say yes, right? Boldly saying yes.
What's next has been mine in the last couple of years.
Okay.
It's interesting that these are all about challenging ourselves to get out and do things and to sort of embrace things, embrace life. I can imagine that there would be people who have a quieter mantra, and that's okay too.
Well, and that's, I think, you know, when we were first talking about this, I know I shared in an earlier episode that the start of this year was really difficult for me, for a lot of people in the world, in my world. And so my focus was being there for people. And I guess in a way, that's a mantra, but I wasn't taking it as that. And so I was thinking about, well, what are those mantras? And then I thought about the dating advice that somebody had asked me for, and I came up with, you know, I call it the four B's: be open, be ready, be confident, be careful. And all those things can be a mantra for any new chat, right? Getting out there and dating after 10 years of not, you have to be boldly saying yes to dating. And so here were some tenets, if
good.
You will. Thank you. Yeah.
And that is a mindset mantra. Like,
right.
That's how you're going
right.
to.
Because you know what? If you're not ready to date, don't. Because you're not going to enjoy it. And if you're not confident doing it, then you're going to just have your soul crushed by any small thing that feels like it's not that perfect match.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, I guess those maybe are mantras as well. So like I said, the more I thought about it, the more mantras really started to, and I don't want to say they followed me, they preceded me.
Mm.
So, you know, that woman on the plane with her backpack, you know, that said, be kind. And then the other thing that she had, live a great story.
Like, those were patches on the backpack of the woman in front of me as I'm getting on the airplane to do this solo trip to a place that I've never been, to go to a wedding of great friends.
Universe, like, bombarding you.
My gosh.
The interesting thing about that is, it had it not been for the fact that we were talking about doing this podcast, I wonder if you would have noticed that backpack. And that goes to what we were saying about manifesting. The minute you start thinking about something, it's everywhere,
right?
Which is really cool. And I'm going to give you another mantra that not necessarily
because I need another one. I only have 150 now.
You're overflowing with mantras. But I'm going to lay another mantra out there based on our conversation with you. That something you said earlier. Also, you're really inspiring me tonight. Don't be afraid to eat alone. Like, I think we sometimes think, like, we're all adventure-oriented. And obviously what we're trying to tell our listeners is to be adventure-oriented. Get out there and make something of the time that you have with your life. But that can also be quiet things, like don't be afraid to eat alone. Sometimes you will find yourself alone. And there is an adventure in that.
And you want to know what I was doing?
I want to know what
while
you ordered,
I was eating alone? I was actually putting my thoughts together on my notes for the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, there
interesting.
You go.
Yeah. You know, mantras are, it's empowerment. It empowers us. We think about it and it does empower us. They can also be comforting as well. I look at mantras as comforting as well, but it is empowerment. It's, you know, the way we want to live and how we want to proceed through life. And I think it is important that we do that. It's that good narrative in our head. We always talk about negative narratives. You know, it's a wonderful way to be able to replace the negative.
I would see you coming up with a lot of mantras, Michelle, because you live very thoughtfully and aware.
Yeah. So that's interesting. There's one I think of sometimes, this too shall pass, which I know is a classic one.
And it,
sometimes people in midlife have hard times. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good one to consider. And
put you on the spot.
I'll fill in. I can share more that I saw during my trip. So in the restaurant, there was a neon sign. And I couldn't remember what it said. And I had taken a video, so I blew it up. And it said, I want to do right, just not right now. Huh. And so I like the notion of mantras that maybe fit like different moods, right? So I'm starting to read the book Mindset by Carol Dweck. Mm-hmm. And there was a chapter I was reading about people who have gone through really difficult things. And this particular chapter was about relationships, somebody who, you know, got stood up before the wedding, things like that. And somebody said, I'll be damned if I'm going to sit here and feel sorry for myself. You know, that how do you get yourself out of a really difficult place by having a mantra that helps move you forward? Like you were saying, sometimes it's comfort.
Yeah.
But it is not always that sense of adventure. Sometimes it's just the, you know, put one foot in front of the other.
And friends give mantras they give mantras to others as well in comforting or supporting somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that we can think about mantras as this really unusual thing that some people do. But in fact, I think we all do it all the time.
You know, on the book, go ahead, Michelle.
Okay, thanks. I've been so quiet. So I was like, two things. One is interesting to me because my husband's back home from California, but I've been living alone for so long that my ability to be in rapid conversation is diminished, which is kind of a funny observation for me. But sometimes mantras, I think, don't have to even be phrases or things. Like, I'm going to forget the name of this person who has this model where it's like we think, we feel, we do, but we also be. Hmm. So sometimes your mantra actually can just be someplace, like nature, for example, or in a city park surrounded by people, and just be in that moment. And that's another way to experience, I think. I don't know if it's like a mantra in terms of a vision how you want to be, but it's just a moment not to have to do things, mm-hmm. just to feel.
That's our pause.
Turn it off. Yeah, right. The pause thing, which I thought about when I listened to that podcast. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a great point.
And that's actually a good segue to what I was thinking a minute ago. one of the women on the boat, Lisa Asbell, who we actually had as a guest earlier on our podcast last season, she said something to me that just really resonated when we were on the boat. And as I would consider it an overarching theme for life, which is we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. And there's so much packed into that. I really had to like think about that. Like it struck me immediately when she said it. And I said to her like three times, that's really hitting me. Like, and I had to really think about it and feel it and take it in, because it is a kind of a mantra, because you have to remember, like, you're here, your spirit is here for something, right? And you're having this human experiences with all the gifts and the downsides that it offers, but that all develops the spirit. And if you can remember that and embrace that, I think it helps just to kind of put life in focus. So not just the day to day, I'm going to be bold, or I'm going to, you know, eat alone, or I'm going to, you know.
That's the big picture.
It's a big picture mantra.
It really is. I like that.
So you were talking about your friend who has a good one, which is, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. But I think sometimes it's the being. So you don't actually have to accomplish anything. So John O'Donohue would say, sometimes our mind is a very sore place. And so sometimes it's okay not to think or demand anything of you and just be. And have that respite. I think that's a good
mantra
too.
In itself.
Yeah.
As we're wrapping up this conversation, let's see what happens when we randomly pick some mantras and see if they fit to us. If they fit, we can keep them.
Okay.
And, you know, as a tip to each of us and also to listeners out there, when you see something like Marla saw on the backpack, or what Lisa said that really struck me, or something that you've read that really resonates with you. You know, we all carry around with us this marvelous little device called the smartphone, and it has a notes section. And I've actually taken to writing down, not so much, I will do mantras now, but I've been, you know, that I someday want to write a book, which I'm going to do it. I am going to do it. I write
down. You heard it here first, everyone.
You heard it here first on this podcast. I write down possible book titles, because the book title inspires a whole lot, which is almost like a mantra for writing. But now I'm going to start writing down mantras so that on a day where I feel a little lost in my life, I can look through and decide what mantra fits me today. And I'm going to think about that and take that going forward.
That's great.
So I've started doing some shared notes.
That's a whole step above.
No. So I'm thinking maybe we can collaborate on a note and pop in the mantras, so you'll get to however many mantras you want to have for different days.
I think that's a wonderful idea. And you know what? We could put them on our website. So listeners who are looking for a mantra will have a resource. So let's see what our cards say.
So let's see. Do you want to, hold on. I'm going to do this. Okay, hold on. I'm going to pick a card.
Pick a card, any
card. Pick a card. I'm going to do my magic tricks. Pick a card.
Pick a card.
If you don't like it, you can turn it in and pick another one.
I wonder if the universe will send us the right mantras.
Okay.
Oh, I like mine.
Okay.
It's a gratitude one.
Okay.
Say thank you a lot. And I like that.
Reminder
to be grateful.
It's true. Mine is reflect on your achievements. It's a nice approach. Like, don't think about what you haven't done, right? Acknowledge what you have.
And mine is, you are the artist of your canvas. Love your canvas.
Oh, I like that.
Wow, that sounds very apropos for what you were kind of talking about in all your ventures. Oh, this is funny. Simplify and declutter everything. So, and for those listeners who have not listened to our episode on downsizing and decluttering, it was a great episode, because I think even just this note here, simplify and declutter, and it's in a bracket, everything. So it's your thoughts.
Everything.
It's not just your
material, tangible things.
Right, possessions. Yeah. Like those.
It's a really good one.
So I'm going to take this, say thank you a lot, and I'm going to say thank you a lot to the folks who've been following this podcast. And we hope you'll continue to do that. And if you want to find out more, and maybe we'll have a list of mantras for you to peruse, you can visit us at www.americanmidsters.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got.
from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.